Today's shir is Masechta Beis Daf Chaf Aleph. We will begin on Daf Chaf Amud Beis, 11 lines from the bottom. Yibaylhu, L'divrei Omer, Adarma Davos Ein Kraven B'Yontif. According to the opinion that, as we discussed extensively in our previous shir, the Shaila, if Nedarim and the Davos may be brought on Yontif or not. And the Gemara asked now the question, according to that opinion, of a Veshachat, somebody went and shechted what he shouldn't have, the Nedarim V'Davos on Yontif. Mai. What's going to be the halacha as far as Zrikas Hadam? Will that Zrikas Hadam be allowed to be performed on Yontif or not? And the Gemara is going to explain why we would think it should be Mutter, why we think it should be not Mutter. So the question, of course, is why should Zrikas Hadam not be Mutter on Yontif? So Rashi explains that Zrikas Hadam is a Shvus, and since Zrikas Hadam is a Shvus, the Gemara is questioning may it be performed on Yontif or not. Others suggest that it may involve moving Muksa. A Muksa is obviously not allowed to be moved on Yontif. Others say that the Isser is taken. Because what happened is, by doing Zrikas Hadam, we now have a kosher carbon. Until now, it was not a kosher carbon, and that's why the Gemara's question is, may we do Zrikas Hadam? But of course, the Rishonim ask that we've discussed many times that there's a rule of Ein Shvus B'Migdash. So why should it be usur to do Zrikas Hadam if there's a rule Ein Shvus B'Migdash? So the Mitzvah Eisen answers that here, as we just described, there are perhaps two shvusim in question. One is the shvus of tikkun, and one is the shvus of muksa. And the Mitzvah Eisen wants to suggest that even when we say ein shvus b'migdush, that's only when there's only one derabbanan in question. But when we have two derabbanan in question, then the halacha is that it may be awesome. The Noyeh Behuda takes a different approach. As we're going to learn in our shiur today, the primary reason why somebody would do the Zrikas Hadam, one of the primary reasons, is that in the evening, he should be able to do Haktaras Emrim. Now, so it turns out that he's doing something on Yontif for after Yontif. And as we've learned, and we'll continue learning often, there's no heter to do something on Yontif for after Yontif. The Rebbe Baruch Tam asks a question. How can we have a question if one's allowed to do Zrikas Hadam? If we will not do Zrikas Hadam, then the carbon will be pasul. And then it'll turn out the Shechita was Shaloi Letzorich. Whereas, if we will do Zrikas Hadam, which has a tzairich, it'll turn out I didn't do any malacha. So shouldn't we allow the Zrikas Hadam for the simple reason to avoid somebody from doing an Aveira? Because if there's no Zrikas Hadam, it'll turn out that it was an Aveira. So he says, a very bechiddush. He says, since when you did the Shechita on something that was able to have Zrikas Hadam. Yes, at the end you won't be able to do the Zrikas Hadam for whatever reason. That doesn't change the reality that the Shechita was a good Shechita. And since that doesn't change the reality that the Shechita was a good Shechita, there is no problem with doing such a Zrikas Hadam. So says the Gemara, there is no problem with such a Shechita that the Shechita should be considered Chil Yontif. Says the Gemara, Rav Rafuna Amazark Saddam Amnas Lahakti Rav Amazark Saddam Amnas Lahat Basbachila. You're allowed to do Zrikas Saddam with the intention that you should be able to eat the meat. So as the Rishonim explain, the Shechita is a kosher Shechita, the meat may eaten, and that's why Rav allows us to do the Zrika, because I'm allowed to eat that meat. So it turns out to be Eichel Nefesh. Asked Tosfos, the halacha always is that we're not allowed to eat the meat of a carbon until we do the Akhtaris of the Amrim. Here we're learning that according to Rava, we would not be allowed to do the Akhtaris Amrim. So how could Rava say, as Tosfos, that I'm allowed to do the Zrikas Adam? And the goal of the Zrikas Adam is that I should be able to eat the meat. I wouldn't be able to eat the meat because I wouldn't be able to do the Akhtaris Amrim until after Yontif. So Tosfos says that just like the halacha is, that if the Amrim got lost or the Amrim got burnt, there is no chiyuv to you could eat the meat. That doesn't prevent you from being able to eat the meat. If the halacha here says that we cannot burn the Amrim of this carbon, then the halacha is that meat may be eaten. But as to our Sameach, if that's only in a case where I can't eat the Amrim ever because they're lost or burnt. Here the Amrim are in existence. And moreover, normally the Akhtaris Amrim is what makes that I should be able to eat the meat. Why would be matter the meat? So he says that since the Zrika here is only being done according to Rava in order to be able to eat the meat, it serves the same place, it serves the same goal as the Akhtaris Amrim. The Rebbe Chana has a different approach. He says, we shouldn't look at the Akhtaris Amrim is what matter the basar, it what allows us to eat the meat. What allows us to eat the meat is the burning, is the Zrikas Adam. There's just a order that first you do Akhtaris Amrim and then you eat. And here Tosfos says that order wouldn't be allowed to be. But the Achrayim ask, how could this meat be mutter to be eaten? It was muksa, because Erev Yontif, it wasn't allowed to be shachted. And if it wasn't allowed to be shachtan, on Yontif it's nullid. So Rosh Yosef wants to say a chiddush, that because we want to avoid kachim going to waste, that's why the Chazal said we're allowed to eat this meat, even though it's muksa. The Tzlach says that it's not muksa, the animal is not muksa, because since this animal could have been slaughtered for Shalmi Simcha, and something that could be sorted, and any carbon, and we may bring, as we learned in our previous year, Shalmi Simcha. Since we could bring Shalmi Simcha on Yontif, so therefore this animal is not muksa, and therefore the meat is not muksa. The Gedule Shmuel says a different teretz. He says that every time we have an animal that's hegdish, the halach is we could be shoyl on hegdish, just like we could be shoyl on a neder. If we were shoyl on the hegdish, it wouldn't be hegdish anymore, and therefore wouldn't be muksa. But then the Achrayim ask, what are the factors that's very often mentioned in Shas is not mentioned in our Gemara? And that is, throughout Shas we speak about a knas. Somebody doing something wrong gets punished. Here, of course, as we began the shir, he should not have shechted that carbon in Yontif. Why is he spared from any knas? So the Mishkanos Yaakov says that from here we see that even though one is not may not do malacha on Yontif, Chazal did not issue knosses, Chazal did not issue punishments for somebody who did so. But then he writes that Al Gemara perhaps is speaking about a person who did this b'shogeg. And even though often in Shas we speak about a knas, not by somebody who did a b'shogeg. Rabbi Rafuna Mezorik Saddam, we're allowed to do the Zrikas Adam, even though our entire purpose of doing the Zrikas Adam is a manas lahakdam and murim la'erev. We need to be able to burn the Amrim by night. And if we wouldn't have done Zrikas Adam, then we wouldn't be able to do Haktaris Amrim, and that's good enough. So of course, the Rishonim explain that Rabbi Rav Huna is agreeing that we're allowed to do Zrikas Adam for eating the basar as well. But what he's saying is, in a case where we wouldn't be able to do the Zrikas Adam, we wouldn't be able to eat the basar, we're still allowed to do the Zrikas Adam just in order to be able to do Haktaris Amrim at night. We know, asked the Migdash David, that whenever we do Zrikas Adam, so we do whatever applications the Torah tells us to do, And then the rest of the dam is nishpach liyusoyed ha-mizbeach. It's poured to the base of the mizbeach. So now the question is, what is matter the basa? What allows us to eat the meat? What allows us to do rak Torah? The zrikas adam. So ask the Megdash David, would we be allowed to do the shvichas dam yusoyed, even though it's not a necessary avoider? Most achroinim are of the opinion that since if we won't do the pouring of the dam on the yusoyed, still on yontif, if we're going to wait for the night, it's going to be too late. So therefore, halacha is that we, just like we could do for whatever reason that we just learned, the zrikas dam, we could also pour the dam to the yusoyed. Ask the Gemara benayu. So what is the practical nafkamina between these two pshatim? Ikvenayu kshenit ma basa ovad, where you don't have any meat available. The Rava, according to Rava Loizorik, because according to Rava, the entire reason we're allowed to do zrikas dam is in order to have meat. But here we wouldn't have any more meat. The meat isn't available. Rabbi Rafuna, according to Rabbi Rafuna, Zorik, you're allowed to do Zrikas Adam, even just for Akhtaris Amram. Meisvei asked the Gemara on the opinion of Rabbi Rafuna. It says in a Braisa, Kifsei Tzeres, these are Shalmei Tzibur that were brought on Shavuos together with the Shtei Alechem. The halacha is that they are slaughtered on Shavuos as a carbon shalmei tzibur, and says the Braisa, if they were shachted shaloi lishmon or afilu shachted bein lefnei zmanam shachted lefnei zmanam bein laachas zmanam, if they were brought shaloi lishma or they were brought before Shavuos or they were brought after Shavuos, the halacha is hadam yuzorek v'abasa yoichel. You could still do zrikas adam and eat the meat. But if Shavuos fell on Shabbos, then the halacha is lo yizrik, because the meat cannot be eaten on Shabbos, because we can't eat the meat raw, and of course on Shabbos we can't cook the meat. Vim zorak, and the halacha is if somebody did zrikas adam, hurtza manas lahakdem imurim l'erev. So we see that you could do zrikas adam just to be able to do aktaris imurim in the evening. Now the Braisa says, Im Zorak b'di Eved in. That if somebody did the Zrika under these circumstances, it's acceptable. L'chatchila, but l'chatchila we see that we can't do Zrika Saddam. So it says the Rabishlam l'Rav Nicha, according to Rav, it's understandable. Because since this meat won't be edible today, it's Shabbos, I can't eat that meat on Shabbos, therefore I can't do Zrika Saddam, because Rava says you only can do Zrika Saddam if as a result of the Zrika Saddam you're going to be able to eat the meat. El Rabbi Rav Huna, Kasha, according to Rabbi Rav Huna, we have a Kasha. Here he's saying we're allowed to do the Zrika Saddam. He says you're allowed to do Zrika Saddam just to be able to do Amrim. And here we're learning that just for Amrim, we're not allowed to do Zrikas Adam, Kasha. So the Gemara remains with a Kasha. V'bayis Ema. And then the Gemara says a Teretz. Shani Shvush Shal Shabbos Mishvush Shal Yontif. There's a difference between Shabbos and Yontif. That means even though we've been makel at the beginning of the Shir by Shvus of Yontif and said that you could do the Zrikas Adam on Yontif, we're not going to be lenient in allowing the Shavuos of Shabbos, and we're not going to allow the Zrikas Adam to be done on Shabbos, that to be over that Shavuos. So the Chasam Sofer makes a very interesting observation. First the Gemara said that it's Kasha. The Gemara was left with a Kasha. And then the Gemara says, V'bay Seima a Teretz. Very uncommon in Shas. Of course, we've often said in our shiurim that when the Gemara uses the word kasha versus using the word tiyufta, what the Gemara means to say is that there's an answer to the question. But usually when the Gemara says kasha, the Gemara doesn't give an answer. And here we have a nibayis ema. So the Chasam Sofer says the reason why the Gemara is saying this makes sense is because this question that we're saying that shvus shal Shabbos is more chomer than Shavuos Shal Yontif actually is not consistent with what we've been learning in this Masechta. Because we began the Masechta by saying that Chazal were more makbir on Muksa by Yontif than Muksa on Shabbos. So if anything, we could make an argument that Yontif is more chomer than Shabbos, not Shabbos being more chomer than Yontif. If you have an animal that's owned half by a Jew and half by a non-Jew, as we learned in our previous year, the Torah says lachem, that the Torah, when it speaks about oichel nefesh being done on yontif, it speaks lachem v'loin the nachrim. And the question is, what's going to be the halacha when you're shechting an animal that belongs to you and to a nachri, and turns out you're shechting for a nachri? Amalei, mutter. So he said, it may be slaughtered. Amalei, so if Avya asked Rafuna v'chima azel adarv v'nadarvus, when we shech nadarv v'nadarvus, so part of it goes to the Mizbeach, which is not Oichel Nefesh, but part of it goes to the person who owns the carbon. And that is Oichel Nefesh. And yet, we have learned that you may not do so. V'amalei, Urver Parach. He said to him, Urver Parach, there's a raven flying here. So the Mefarshim asked, what's the Havimina? The Achronim asked that we should not be able to shecht an animal which belongs chetzu shel nachri and chetzu shel Yisrael. The halacha is that if somebody has an animal that he sees is about to expire, and if he won't shecht it, and he waits till after yontif, it'll become an avela. The halacha is you're allowed to shecht the animal, even just to eat a kazayis. So here too, I'm going to shecht it just to be able to eat some of it. Yes, I have a partner who's a nachri, but I'm also a partner in this animal. And since I'm a partner in this animal, I should be allowed to shecht it for that purpose. So the Malaya Royim suggests that the heter to shecht an animal that's musukenis, even though I don't need to eat more than kazayis, is based on mitoich. We learned that Basil's opinion, the opinion that's foul alocha, but that's only in something that there's a heter v'eichel nefesh. And we're learning now that the heter v'eichel nefesh only applies to something owned by a Jew, and that's why we can't rely on that teretz. The Netziv in the Meraim Yisadov says that when you shecht an animal that's a musukenes, every kazayis is potentially able to go to a Jew. Here, not every kazayis is potentially able to go to a Jew because a nachri is a 50% partner. Another teretz that the Netziv gives in the Sefer Emek Shela is a musukenes is a makam hefsid, where if we won't, as we just described, if we won't shecht this animal today, it'll be too late to shecht. That's why Chazal were lenient. This animal, we could wait till after Yontif, and since we could wait till after Yontif, there would be no reason to be allowed to shecht the animal. Our Gemara speaks about an animal that's owned by a Jew and a non-Jew. And the question is that every animal has parts that are not edible. We don't eat the dam, we don't eat the chalev. In every animal, it has parts that may not be eaten. So why should this be any different? The answer is, it's still considered, like we just explained, that the whole animal is a Jew's animal. And therefore, when the whole animal is a Jew's animal, we could say mitoich, and we could be more lenient. So the Gemara says that when he was asked this question, he said, Urver Pareach. So I saw that Reb Chaim Periska says, what pshat that he said, Urver Pareach? So he says that we know that Noach sent the Urev out of the Teva, and he never came back with an answer. So what he meant to say was, just like Noach didn't get an answer from the Urev, you're not going to get an answer from me. Rashi explains that what did he mean when he said Urver Pareach? He showed him a bird flying, and he wanted to change the subject. Rabbeinu Chananel says that this is not a good question. It's the kind of question that children who play with birds would ask such a question. Doruch, another pshat, says that he wanted to say that a raven is a black bird, and you, who shouldn't have been asking me this question, also are acting inappropriately. But the question is, a question was asked. Why is he acting inappropriately? So the Meiri says that if you see a Talmud Chacham that's weak, and he's not able to answer questions at that point, you have no right to approach him and ask him a question. And that's why he says he had every right to call him an Orva Pareach. How are you asking me questions when I am so tired and not able to focus and concentrate and giving you an answer? And along the same lines, I saw the Ian Yaakov says, the Orif is known as a bird that doesn't have Rachmanis on his children. And what he was saying to him was, you don't have a little Rachmanis on me that I don't feel well, and you shouldn't have been bothering me with questions. Says the Gemara, Kinofak, so when Avi left, Amalei Rabba Berei, Rabba the son of Rav Hunas, said, Lav Heiner of Avi Saba, isn't this Rav Avi Sabach, the Mishtabach La Mar Begavei de Gava Rabbahu, that you always used to say that he's such a great person, how could you just push him off? Amalei, so Rav Hunas said to his son, my Evedlei, what can I do? Ani Hayoim, I today am in a situation of some Chuni Bashishis Rabduni Betapuchim. I am in a situation that I need to eat. I'm very weak and I shouldn't be asked questions. But by Minay Milsa by Tama. And he asked me a question that needs to be explained well, and I'm not up to being able to do so. So Rashi explains, as we said, that he was saying to him that I'm weak, and since from giving a drasha, and therefore I'm not able to concentrate and give him an answer. Another pshat, the Rabbeinu Chananel says, that on that day he was appointed to be Rosh Hashiva. And since that day he was appointed to be Rosh Hashiva, it was a very busy day for him, and it was a day that he couldn't properly concentrate. And he says, that's why he asked me a question that requires that kind of concentration, and I wasn't up to it. So says the Gemara, V'tamamai, why would we differentiate between an animal that's owned with a partnership of Yisrael and Nochri versus Darim and Nadavis? Says the Gemara, B'hei mechetz shel Nochri v'chetz Yisrael mutl shachta b'yantav. The animal that's owned in partnership between a Yisrael and a Nochri may be Shochtan and Yontif. Why? Because the Gemara says a Svara. The Efshel Kazai is possible by Shchita. You have to do Shchita. You have, even for the Jews' part, Avon Adar and Vedavis, the Dar and Vedavis also Shochtan and Yontif may not be brought on Yontif. The Kahanim ki Kazachim Shochtan Kazachu. So what the Gemara is saying is like this, as the Mishnah Berurah says. Since you can't eat even a Kazai of meat without Shchita, so when I'm doing the Shechita, I'm not doing it on behalf of the Akum. I'm doing it on behalf of the Yisrael. I'm shechting the entire animal because I need part of this carbon. And what I'm going to accomplish is that all of it is geshochten. But my purpose is for the Jews' part. Whereas when somebody shechs a carbon, the carbon is geshochten for Gavoya. It's geshochten for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives a portion to the Kahanim, a portion sometimes to the owners. And Tosfos explains that even according to the Machlokes throughout Shas, do we say by Kachem Kalim, Mam and Balim, or Mam and Yisrael? Says Tosfos that even according to Rabbi Yossi's opinion, that Kachem Kalim, like a Karban Shlomim, a Mam and Balim, still the mechanics of how it works, you shecht the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and then he gives you a share. There's a very fundamental machlokes between the Shev Yaakov and the Noid Behuda. What's going to be if you're shechting a behemoth that belongs to a goy, but you're shechting it on behalf of a Yisrael? The Shev Yaakov says that only when the animal belongs to a Yisrael and a Nochri, and I'm shechting the animal on behalf of the Yisrael. And the Gemara now taught us the chiddush of the efshel kazayis possible shechita. The halach is that you could shecht such an animal. But if the animal would belong entirely to the akum, even though you're shechting it on behalf of Yisrael, the Gemara's heta would not apply. The Noid Behuda disagrees that only when you're shechting the tzarech gevoya, when you're not shechting Litzarecha Yisrael at all, that's when the halach is, you can't shecht such an, you can't do such a shechita on Yontav, the Dar of the Nadav. But when you do shechita on behalf of Yisrael, the fact that the animal also belongs partially to the Akum is immaterial. But then there's a very interesting question. The Gemara just said the famous concept of the Efshel Kazayis possible as Shechita. So the Achronim debate what's going to be if you have a person that's not even going to eat a Kazayis of meat. What will be the halacha? Could you still, will we still have the same Svara? The Sefer Imri Bina says that you would have that heter. Davni Nezer says the same, that since you're shechting whatever this person needs to eat, and if a person unfortunately cannot eat less than a, only can eat less than a kazayis, what's the heter, what's the underlying theme in the heter of most of what we're learning in this parak? That's Simchas Yontif. So this person, as his Simchas Yontif is with less than a kazayis. And therefore, since he eats less than a kazayis, that's his Simchas Yontif, and the halacha would be that you could check on behalf, on their behalf. Amar of Chizda. Behem mechetz shanach vechetz shisrael, mu tel shachta b'yontif, you'll have to shach such an animal yontif, given the svar that we just learned. The efshir, the kazayis possible as shchita, because we have to do some shchita for kazayis possible. Chetz shanach, however, says the Gemara, Isaf, you have a dough. Chetzis shal Nachri, the Chetzis Yisrael, again owned by Yisrael and Nachri together. There also, Efeis B'Yontif, the halacha would be that you would not be allowed to bake it on Yontif. The Efeis L'Mifik L'Belisha, we could divide it and before we bake it, and therefore take it and divide it, give the Akam his share, and you take your share. But as Taisus, we've learned many times in our Masechta that we've learned in our Masechta previously that they used to fill up the oven to be able to bake the bread better. The bread is baked better when the oven is full. So why over here can't I make more dough and bake it? Because my bread will be better if the oven is full. So Taisus answers that only in a case where the bread belongs to the Jew do we have that heter. But where the bread doesn't belong to the Jew, we that heter. Another teretz that Taisus says, we only have that heter with the concept that we're about to discuss, where hoyel, where I could potentially eat the bread or give the bread to guest. In a case where half the bread belongs to the Akum, so I couldn't give that bread to someone else or eat it myself, there is no hoyel. So just to say that the bread is better when the oven is full, that alone should be a reason why I could bake more bread, that isn't true. You can't bake a whole bread. You can't fill up an oven under those circumstances. Masar of Cham V'Chanoi. Isis Klovim. They used to have a dough that had very inferior ingredients in it, and it was served to the animals. So the question is, can you bake it on Yontif? What could you do with such a bread? Says the Gemara, B'zman Sharoim Oichel Menu, if it's still good enough that the shepherds eat from that bread, chayevas b'challah, it's considered bread that we have to take challah off the bread. U'me'arvenba, it can be used to make an aruvi chatzeris. U'me'shtatvenba, it can be used for shtufim mevaz. U'me'varchanla, we make a moitzi on it. U'me'zamnala, we can make a birchas, we can make a birchas hamazon. V'nefes b'yontif, you could break it on yontif. V'adam yotzba yidei chavas v'pesach, and if you made matzah on it, you could, if you made matzah out of it, you could use that matzah. The chiddush here is when you say because the halach is that we only say zimun when three people ate together, and it has to be an achilas kva, as the Gemara Masechta Brachos describes. Now the question here is, if this bread is an isis klovim, is it considered an achilas kva? And the Brisa says it is. Now the question is, v'mai, why can we bake the bread that belongs to the klovim on yontif? We know that we can't do oichel nefesh on behalf of klovim, and we could say ha'efshe lemifligah. Why don't we divide the bread belisha and give the part that the shepherds would lead to them, and the rest we shouldn't be allowed to do? Answers the Gemara: Shani isis klovim. We're allowed to bake the isis klovim. Hoyav efshe lefaisa benevela. I may never end up giving that bread to the klavim, because I would rather give nevela meat to the klavim. And since I did, I made nevela, I will serve the klavim, the nevela, all of the bread will be eaten by people. But here the Gemara said the concept of hoyl, which asked the Gemara, umiyisler of chizda hoyl, does a chizda subscribe to the concept of hoyl? Vitma, hoyl from yontif l'chol, if somebody's baking on yontif for a weekday, Rav Chizda Amalaiker, Rav Chizda says such a person will get Malkus for violating the lav of Lysas and Malacha, and Rav Amalaiker, like Rav says he won't get Malkus. And the Gemara explains, Rav Chizda Amalaiker, Laimrina Hoyle Mikle Yachim. We of course know, everybody agrees, that we're not allowed to bake on yontif for weekday. What's the issue over here? Rav says that I'm not necessarily baking on yontif for the weekday, because I may have guests. And then I will end up having baked on their behalf. And therefore, it's not considered that I did a melacha. Rav Chizda doesn't agree with Hoyle. Rav Chizda ama loika, shalayim in a Hoyle, mikalei arkim chazdalei, hashta nami chazdalei. Rav ama loika, that mean a Hoyle. So now the question is, Rav Chizda doesn't subscribe to Hoyle. And over here, when it comes to bake, the Isis Klavim, he is subscribing to Hoyl. El Laitema Hoyva Efsher says the Gemara, the way to understand the Gemara is don't say Hoyl that maybe I'm going to need the bread for humans. El Kagain the Isla Nevela. We're referring here to a situation that the person has Nevela meat available. Since he has Nevela meat available, that's certainly what he's going to serve to the Klavim. The Vada Afshalafai is Simba Nevela. So here we're learning that Hoyfam Yantav Lachol, Rechizda Amalaika. So Rashi says that we're speaking that he already ate. But since he ate already, so when he's baking, he's obviously baking for a weekday, and that's why Rav Chizda says he would get Malkus. But let's say he hasn't eaten yet. Even though when he's baking, his intention for baking is for the weekday, still, Rav Chizda, according to Rashi, says he wouldn't get Malkus. But still, since he still needs to eat, we could say that even if Chizda would agree that that's a good enough reason to be makel. The Meiri says the different. And the Meiri says that if the person bakes, and he's very explicit in saying that the purpose of his baking is letzoy rechoyl, the halacha is that he would get Malkus according to Chizda, even though he hasn't eaten. The Ramban says, what will be the halacha if there are guests here? It's not only maybe guests will come, but there are guests here, and he has a mind, but he has a mind to bake for the weekday. What would Rav Chizda say there? Rav says, for sure I'll say hoyl. I have guests, so it's very possible I'm going to give the guest this bread. Rav Chizda says, since it is my intention to bake this for weekday, it doesn't make a difference that there are guests here. However, says Tosfos, it has to be in a situation where I could serve the guest this bread. And therefore, Taisha says, let's say I bake the bread towards the end of the day where there are guests, where I could not serve it to the guest anymore, that even Rabbi would agree that there is no hoyl. On the other hand, Rav Shach Zatzal and the Sefer Avi Ezri says that if somebody is going to bake bread on Yontif for weekday, and according to Chizda, we don't say hoyl. So since we don't say hoyl, it turns out that he was Mechal Yontif. There is a way for him to save himself. Go and eat that bread. Go and serve that bread to a guest. So then it turns out that what you did was Letzorich Yontif. And since it was Letzorich Yontif, therefore you will not have been Mechal Yontif. Taisus Masechta Pesachim says that if we're going to subscribe to the concept of hoyl, so then we should never have chil Shabbos. Because let's say somebody cooks and bakes on Shabbos, we could say hoyl, that maybe chas v'sham is going to be somebody who's a chil shesh b'sakana, for whom we're allowed to cook and bake. So Tosfos answers that since having a case that I need to cook or bake for somebody who's so ill is loy shchiach, when it's loy shchiach, we don't say hoyl. The Chasam Sofer has a different approach. The Chasam Sofer says that there's a fundamental question when we discuss that you're allowed to do melacha for chayil sheyesh b'sakana on Shabbos. Is it hutra or dechuya? Is it completely mutter or is it dechuya? The Torah reluctantly said it's mutter. When do we say hayil? Says the Chasam Sofer. We only say hayil when the situation at hand is something which is hutra. Cooking and baking on Yontav L'tzorei Chayichel Nefesh is 100% mutter. But when it's a situation of dechuya, like Pikuach Nefesh and Shabbos, we don't apply the concept of hayil. B'minei Merafuna, Hani B'nei Baga, Jews who live in the villages, the Ramalai Kamcha B'nei Cheli, that the government requires that they cook and bake on behalf of all the people or the soldiers who come to the town. And there's a Machloikus Rishonim, if the flour that's supplied, that we're discussing, that they used to have to cook and bake on behalf of these soldiers, who owns the flour, the Jews or the government? And we're going to learn the Gemara that, as Tosfos does, that the flour belongs to the government. And the question is, Malafos B'Yontif, may we bake such bread on Yontif? It's Letzorech Nachri, it's not Letzorech Yisrael. Amul Chazina. He says the way to analyze this question is, let's see. Iavle Riftali Yanuka. If after this bread is baked, some of it would be given to a child, V'loi Kafti, the government would not be upset. So we could say, Kol chada v'chada, we could say that every bread that was baked, chazi lenuka, is potentially a bread that can be given to a Jew and is being baked on behalf of a Jew, and therefore shari, we could bake all of these loaves on Yontif. V'lav, but if they're strict and say that none of these breads may be given only to the army, so it turns out that you're baking on behalf of the Nachrim, and we learned, lechem v'loi lenachri. So we see from here, that Rav Huna disagrees with Rav Chisda, and he says that you're allowed to bake a bread that a Yisrael and a Nachri are partners in. Because as we just described, most of these breads are going to go to Nachrim. Ask the Gemara on Rav Huna's opinion, V'tanya Ma'aseh B'Shimon HaTamani, Sheloi Ba Emes L'Beis HaMedrash. He didn't come yesterday to Yeshiva. B'Shachas Matzah Rabbi Yehuda Ben Baba, Amalei Menai Ma'al Abasa Emesh L'Beis Medrash. Why didn't you come to Yeshiva yesterday? Amalei Baleshes, a troop of army came, Bali Reinu, a troop of the army came to our city, Obak Shalachta of Kola Ir, and they wanted to do damage to our entire city. B'Shachten Lam Egel, we slaughtered a calf on their behalf, and we cooked it, V'chalnum, and we gave them to eat, upatran l'shalom, and they left us in peace. Amalei, so Rabbi Yehuda ben Baba said to him, Tamani, I wonder, im lo yotzei schachem behafsatchem. You did something, you had taka, something, a great benefit, that you were able to get this army to leave you, but you did chila yontif, because you cooked, you shechted and cooked on behalf of Nachrim. And as we've been describing, Shariyam and Tyra Lachem, that we're only allowed to do Melach on Yontif for Lachem, for Laila of the Kechavim. But ask the Gemara, why was he being so strict? Hachazi l'meiklamenei. The calf belonged to the Yisrael, and the Yisrael is allowed to eat from it. So since the Yisraelim were allowed to eat from it, why don't we say that that's the reason you could shecht on Yontif? Amar B'Yosef, Evil treifa havai. They knew that this eagle was a treifa. Since they knew that this eagle was a treifa, there was no right to shecht on their behalf. Ask the Gemara for chazal klavim. Even though it was a treifa and we Israel can't eat it, the halach is that you could serve it to your animals. Says the Gemara Tanaihi. This question is a machlok tanoim, if you could shecht an animal on Yontif to serve it to your dog. The Tanya, Acha sheyochel chal nefesh hu levad yos lechem, v'mashe shenema lechal nefesh, shemei ani afil nefesh behema mashma, it would include even a behema, kidin shenema, just like when the Torah says that a behema is considered a baal nefesh, because the Torah says, a maka nefesh behema yishalmena, so a behema is in the category of a nefesh, tamalayma lochem. Lochem, the loyal klovim div Rabbi Yosef Glili. So according to Rabbi Yosef Glili, one may not shecht an animal on behalf of klovim. Rabbi Kiva Omer, a fil nefesh behema mashma. You could shecht even on behalf of behema. Imke ma tamalayma lochem. I, the Torah, uses the words lochem. Lechem comes to teach us, Lechem v'loy l'avdi kechavim. You could only work on behalf of Jews and not on behalf of avdi kechavim. Ask the Gemara, Omari Isa Larabos Aklovim. Why are we saying that you could shecht and cook on behalf of Klovim, Alhoitzias of Kachovim, and we exclude of the Kachovim? Says the Gemara, Marbane Klovim Shemizonosim Malecha, where we have an obligation to take care of them. Where we exclude the Akum, Shemizonosim Malechim, that we're not obligated to take care of them. So now the question is that what happens if somebody has servants or employees that I have to serve, that part of my obligation is that I have to serve them food. So the question is, why are they different than the Klovim? So the Rishonim explain, an animal can't take care of himself. A person can take care of himself. And therefore, I'm not allowed to shecht on their behalf. We have these pits of the dates that are only edible by animals. How can we throw them to the animals on Yontif? The halacha is that it should be muksa because we're not allowed to do something. Says the Gemara, it could have a human use as well. They can be used for fuel on the fire. Ask the Gemara, Tenech b'yavishta. So that's understandable by pits that are dry, and therefore they can be used for fuel. Beritifta, but if they're moist, my ikla meimer, why could I move them? They don't have a human use. Answer the Gemara, chazal hasagadol. If I have a big fire, I could throw in even moist kernels because the large fire. Will cause them to dry up. Tenech b'yontif. Ask the Gemara. So that explains why they can be moved on yontif. B'shabbos ma'ikla meimer. When Shabbos we can't throw something into the fire, what will be the heter? Answers the Gemara. Metatino agav rifta. We won't carry it itself. We'll put it on top of the bread, and the bread will. The bread, of course, we move. And the halacha is that we're not allowed to move muksa. But tiltum and atzad, when we're not actually moving the muksa, we're moving the bread and that's how the muksa gets moved. It's mutter. And how could I use bread for such a purpose? Says the Gemara to the Shmuel. That's what Shmuel taught us. Dama Shmuel, also called them tzarech b'pas. The Gemara says the brachas. Shmuel says that you can do whatever you need to with bread. There's a problem with bizu yoichlim. So Shmuel, Rashi explains that Shmuel's opinion is that what is the purpose of having bread? The purpose of having bread is that we should have food, for our use. Here we're learning that anything that's for our use is considered letzairach. So here we're learning that we're not allowed to do anything letzairach akum. And therefore the halacha is that you're not allowed to cook and bake the tzairich akum. So one shaila I saw is that let's say we in Chutz Laretz have yontif sheni. So we're allowed to cook the tzairich yontif. The question is, are we allowed to cook the tzairich of Yisrael? There's a Jew here from Eretz Yisrael that today is not yontif. And therefore, maybe only for people for whom today is yontif, we're allowed to cook. But for people whom today is not yontif, we're not allowed to cook. So Rabbi Yosef said that the Gemara keeps on saying, Lechem v'loy l'nochri, Lechem v'loy l'kuti. A Jew from Eretz Yisrael here in Chutz Laretz is certainly still a Jew. He's not a nochri and kuti, and the halacha is you're allowed to cook. So the question now is, let's say somebody has a hotel, and not all the guests are Jewish, and they have a hotel. How could you cook in that hotel on Yontif? You're cooking Letzorech Nochri. And the truth is, the halacha that you're not allowed to cook, Letzorech Nochri, includes a mumer. So the stipler says there may be a number of reasons that we could be lenient. One is that the Gemara just differentiated between a kelev and a nochri. Why? Because the Gemara says a kelev mezonosim alechem, and a nochri is not mezonosim alechem. So the stipler said that if the non-Jew is paying to stay in the hotel, it's considered mezonosim alechem because he's paying, and therefore we could be more lenient. Another pshat that the stipler wants to suggest. Another reason the stipler says we can be more leikel is only when the kuti, when you invited the kuti or the nachri. Here you didn't invite the kuti or nachri, they paid. And therefore we could be more lenient. But he does say that, and everybody seems to say, that when we're cooking in the times that we're allowed to cook for non-Jews, we should be makbet to cook only in the same pot. So since it's only in the same pot that's being cooked, it's a question of ribi b'shurim. And as we've been discussing in our Masechta many times, we could be more lenient when it comes to ribi b'shurim. But when we're cooking in separate pot for them, it would be much more of a shaila. Says the Gemara, the halacha is that if we're baking Litzarach Yisrael, even though we're also baking Litzarach Nachri, it's mutter. Says the Gemara, Pligid Rabbi Shuman Levi. This is in disagreement with Rabbi Shuman Levi taught us. Dar Rabbi Shuman Levi, Mezamnen is a Nachri B'Shabbos. We're allowed to invite Nachrim to be guests on Shabbos. Ve'men Namnen is a Nachri B'Yontif. But we may not invite Nachrim to be guests on Yontif. Gezeira, because we're concerned that on Yontif we're allowed to cook. On Shabbos we're not allowed to cook. So we're not going to cook. So there's no question. On Yontif we're allowed to cook. And therefore we're concerned, Gezeira Shemayabra B'Shviloi, we may end up cooking on behalf of the Nachri. As we keep on learning, we're not allowed to cook on behalf of the Nachri. Rabach B'Yakov Amar, Afil B'Shabbos Namiloi. That even on Shabbos we're not allowed to invite the Nachri. Why? Mishum Shiori Kaisis. We serve the Nachri a cup of wine, and at the bottom of the cup of wine, he's going to leave some wine. That wine is not allowed to be consumed by a Jew, so it becomes muksa. Ask the Gemara, if that's the concern, that the wine that's left at the bottom of the cup is not something that people are going to consume and becomes muksa, so that should be the don nami, even what's left at the bottom of a cup that we're drinking from. Answers the Gemara, the don chazal to Tarnagoylem. We could give the leftovers to the chickens to eat. Did who? Asked the Gemara, Nami chazal Tanagoylem. So why can't we give the leftovers of their cups to the Tanagoylem? Answers the Gemara, the du becomes Yayin Nesach, and Yayin Nesach is a Surian Noah and may not be served even to an animal. Asked the Gemara, Viltatinu Agav Kasa. Yes, the leftovers are a very serious muksa, but the cup is not muksa, so I should be allowed to move it because of the cup. There's a vessel that has in it coals, which the halach is that the coals are able to be used. The ash, as we learned, is usable on Yontif. So even though the keli is muksa, I can move it because of the ash in it. Afgav de ikaleh, and furthermore, if there's in that vessel shivri etzim that are muksa, still, as long as it has the afer, it's fine. Says the Gemara, here it's much worse. Because the leftovers at the bottom of the cup, as we just said, are yayin nesach. Hasam, it's lavi suri ninu. Hacha, we're talking about something which is a suri ninu, and that's why we have to be much stricter. Amalei ravachim adifti l'reva, but lahevik kigraf shalrei. The halacha is that something which is mius, even though it's muksa, it may be moved from a place where it bothers us. So here too, leftover cups with leftover wine at the bottom is mias, and that's why it should be allowed to be moved. Amalei, so Ravina said, we're not allowed to set up a situation we're going to have a graf shirei. Here, by inviting the guests that are nachrim, we know we're going to have the leftovers at the bottom of the cup, and we're going to end up for sure with a situation of a graf shirei. Adbrei Rabbi Lamar Shmuel. Rava said, Rava and Mashmu were taking a walk. V'darsh mezamnes anachri b'Shabbos, and he told him that halacha is that you can invite anachri on Shabbos. V'ayim mezamnes anachri b'yontif, gzeiro shem yarbe b'shvila. Merem mazutra kavamiklu anachri b'yontif, if they would have a guest, anachri, come to them on yontif, amalei, in nichla b'mayde trichlon, if you'll be fine with what we have from before yontif, mutuf, great. They're very explicit in saying that I can't cook and bake for you on Yontif. And here we see that they were more lenient with the Nachri. Why were they more lenient with the Nachri? It goes back to what we mentioned a few minutes ago from the stipler, that that they came on their own. The issue is if I invite them, but if they come on their own, maybe we could be
more lenient. But moreover, we have to tell him, it seems, very clearly that we're doing it. And also I saw that the Paiskim say, the Mishnah Berurah says, that we only can be lenient, not just by making this announcement. We could only be lenient if the food is already prepared for before Yontif. But if there's food being cooked in this house on Yontif, even though it's not my intention to cook on their behalf, we can't be lenient. The Torah allows Oichel Nefesh, but cooking, warming up food for your feet, to wash your feet, is not permitted. Ella emkein ruin l'shtiyah. Unless they can be drank, you could drink that water, and then it's oichel nefesh. Beisil matirim, because Beisil's opinion, as we've learned many times, is matach shotu l'tzayruch, hotu shloi l'tzayruch. So if I can make fire for drinking, for oichel nefesh, I could also use it for warming up to wash myself. Oysa adam adura mischam kenegdoi. The Mishnah says that we can make a fire to warm ourselves next to the fire. Ask the Gemara. Then the Mishnah just taught us this halacha, that we can make this fire on Yontif. So now ask the Gemara, who opinion is being followed here? Ibailuhu. Hai Madur Kaman Ketanallah. Who taught us this halacha? Is it Divrei HaKol? Will everybody agree that even Beis Shammai, who was Machmer in the Reisha, here will be Meikul? The Shana Le Beis Shammai, because Beis Shammai will differentiate Ben Anos Kol Gufoy, where you're making a fire to warm up your whole body, L'Hanos Eva Echod, versus where you're making a fire just to wash your feet alone, a Dilma Beis Hillel K'tani Lo. Or maybe it's only the opinion of Beis Hillel, who, as we just learned, hold Mitach Shotu L'Tzoyruch, Hotra Nami Shaloi L'Tzoyruch. Al Beis Shammai, who is Machmer, Loi Shana Loi, will not differentiate. Toshma, says the Gemara, the Braisa teaches us explicitly. So it's very clear that it's only Beis Hillel who's lenient with this, not Beis Shammai.